Radio Harbor Country, in partnership with Southwestern Michigan College, proudly presents Extraordinary Voices of the Ordinary, an audio outreach project giving voice to social and political issues affecting the area. Southwestern Michigan College is committed to cultural awareness and student success through community dialogue.
America remains a stalwart defender of freedom. For close on a decade, in the wake of 9/11, America has waged war against terrorism in the far-flung reaches of the globe. Enlistees, prompted by patriotism and duty, have come from all walks of life. Southwestern Michigan College counts among its student body numerous students who proudly served. In keeping with the college's mission to promote dialogue and understanding, our inaugural show takes a look back at war from the eyes of three Southwestern Michigan College students, distinguished veterans Steve Carlson, Andrew Churchill, and Judy Kiefer Phillips. The convergence of their stories, as told by all three, is an uncensored, compelling wartime chronicle that takes us to the heart of what war means on the ground, at home, and in the heart. Here is their story.
Today I stepped outside into my backyard and contemplated where I am in my life. How often, in the darkest, loneliest hours, had I dreamed of this place? Of this same sun setting over these trees, the same cold northern air blowing on my face? These are the things a soldier dreams of, and so much more. Sweethearts and mothers, cold beer and pinup girls, whatever reminds them of home. And to be standing here now, gazing at the sun setting over the western horizon, I am struck that in the time since I've come home, I've begun to take these things for granted. Most days, at least. It's not easy when nobody seems to like who you are anymore. My girlfriend, my parents, friends. They love me, but to be reminded every day that you're not who you used to be, to shock someone in some way every day, will throw you for a loop. It doesn't help to make any positive changes at all. It just makes me angry and frustrated. Resentful, too. It haunts me to this day.
He took us on a trip, far, far away, to a place where boys become men. Horrors we don't want to remember. Brothers we will never forget.
The first night is the worst. I glance out back of the Chinook, see the shimmering lights of the city below. This is a city of death, but from up here it's just lights. Lights like the ones at home. Ones you see when flying over Chicago or some other big city. But this isn't home. I approach the blood-covered truck. It's just a heaping pile of bleeding metal. I can see there were three guys in the truck by the bloody smudge marks at the back of the cab. Beheaded by gunfire. Must have been a hell of a shot.
We fought from the valleys to the mountain peaks, from house to cave, to car to creek. Dirty and tired and hungry and scared, we slept with our boots on, so we were always prepared. Up the mountains with heavy load we trod, who knew hell was so close to God? Beauty and terror are a strong mix to drink, so we drank it like drunkards. And tried not to think. Good men and bad men. Mothers lost sons. Everyone loses their innocence when they carry guns. As the 120s pound round after round, thunder echoes across the valley. Lightning flashes from the mortar pits as hell is on its way. They can't run. They can't hide. All they can do is die. We help them meet those virgins on their way to the other side. Lock and load and get ready to go. Make it quick. My heart is pumping adrenaline through all my veins. I run as fast as I can through the lead.
Women look at me with guarded hostility. I kick in the door and point my gun, shine my light, see the tear, drag the men out and cuff them, search them, and ransack their home. I picture the home after we leave, the women and children. What are they going to do without their father to protect them? There's nothing left but ghosts in a dream before the morning call to prayer. The phone booths in Iraq are not very private. So when someone gets in a fight with his wife or girlfriend, everybody knows. And it isn't pretty. Usually they start out normally. Hey baby, how you doing? I miss you. Then the conversation turns to a whisper. A whisper that grows in intensity. How can you care who overhears when your wife tells you that she's pregnant and you haven't been home in over a year? Oh, and she drained your bank account to buy your boyfriend a car or a TV or whatever. And that he's living in your house and sleeping in your bed? The enemy is everywhere. And people wonder why the suicide rate is so high among returning soldiers.
Eyes wide with fright, his brothers by his side, he quietly prays as he slowly dies. They hold him so he doesn't die alone. They hold him until they have to beg him and send him home. With the utmost care, they zip up the big black bag.
Tears leave streaks down a dirty face.
And wrap his body in an American flag.
Sorrow and emptiness now take his place. Brothers in arms.
Brothers by blood.
A hero is going home.
This is our time to say goodbye. Today we send him on his angel flight. My throat tightens. My stomach rolls. This can't be real. That can't be him. He will never laugh. He will never cry. He will never whisper, "I love you," to his wife. I've come to the point of total acceptance. It's not a matter of if, but rather, when. Death is not the enemy, our minds are. Surviving is all we know now. Death is all around. We can't stop it, nor would we in some cases. Death is a way of life for us now.
It's hard to explain. You will never know. It's my war, my pain. If there were those in the media with integrity and guts, they would step out into the streets and walk with us. Then and only then, they would know how we live and die.
I've been asked many times if I am a real combat veteran. I always respond in the same way. Just because the country I fight for discriminates against me doesn't mean those trying to kill me do. Combat truly is an equal opportunity environment.
I'm home now, and everything is supposed to be okay. I feel so out of place. We all have demons deep down inside. Mine just come alive when I close my eyes. Instead of being a fuzzy picture projected on a screen, I see a high-definition, massive war machine. Here, take this pill. It will help the war inside your head. Paranoia slowly sets in. Lock the door, check the door, check the door again. It's impossible to fall asleep without a loaded gun. A gun is not a guarantee that sleep will even come. End the war. End the war. End the war. Except the war won't end even if we aren't the ones dying anymore. Let them kill each other so we can go to college. Hate on me all you like, but I don't do it for you anyway. I do it for him and him and him and her and all the others to my left and right because all I want is to never go to a memorial again. The things we carry with us. Not just the heavy burden laid on us by war, but life. It takes broad shoulders to carry all that weight. We see them every day, you know. Well, you don't know. You pass us on the street not knowing. How could you? It is a burden too broad and vague for utterances.
Roll call! Sergeant Clint Farron. Sergeant Daniel Londano. Sergeant Carl Lee.
Killed in action, sir.
It's always been about making it back from the desert. But I'm still there, trapped. Pieces of my soul remain in the harsh sands of Baghdad.
You have been listening to Extraordinary Voices of the Ordinary, a Southwestern Michigan College production on Radio Harbor Country 106.7 FM. Streaming live at radioharborcountry.org. Extraordinary Voices of the Ordinary is produced by Michael Collins, executive producer Enid Goldstein, recording Michael Welsh. Readers were Andrew Churchill, Beth LeBaron Root, and Joe Limrow. Engineer Jonathan Reinhardt, announcer Asali Kelly. Southwestern Michigan College is committed to cultural awareness and student success through community dialogue. Ideas for audio projects are welcome. Visit us on the web at www.extraordinaryvoicesoftheordinary.org.